All right, the time is now 6 o'clock for the Village Workforce special meeting of the Local Ethics Commission. I will call the roll. Commissioner Ignofo, Chair Daly, Commissioner DeGroff. Margie, are you going to have a citizen's comment? Okay.
Margie Seconder, River Oaks Drive. Commissioner Daly, you stated shortly after your appointment in June of 2021 that President Ducey asked you to lead a revision to the ethics ordinance to make it best in class. At a February board meeting this year, Village President turned to the trustees and said during the discussion on it, "Well, you six approved this," referring to the April 2022 Village Board meeting that approved your revised ordinance. Not a factual statement, but you get my point. Chairwoman Daly, why on January 31st did you state that the ordinance wasn't as the EC had seen earlier, referring to the January 2022 revisions that limited the Ethics Commission to considering complaints only on political activities and gifts? And then February 20th, state with Commissioner Ignofo that you missed those changes that carried through to the April 2022 Village Board approval and afterwards even to your Wednesday Journal article. What occurred to have you restate your claim? I think residents would like to hear, want to hear. Who directed Greg Smith to make those changes in the margin on January of 2022? Is there a conflict of interest for an employee of the same law firm, Kleinthorpe Jenkins, advising the EC on ethics policy given Mr. Smith's proposed changes? Why does the EC webpage direct all ethics complaints be filed with the EC when its authority over complaints was narrowed to considering only the two areas? It's a broken linkage there. For two of you, your terms have expired, so I'm curious why you're deliberating beyond your terms. The village attorney stated February 27th the EDC avoided the appearance of a conflict of interest by ensuring the commissioner recused himself. But no, the EDC did not avoid the appearance of a conflict. For the commissioner, having sat in the room during deliberations, participated in designing the RFP, and sat on the EDC throughout until an ethics complaint was filed. Village Trustee Vasquez avoided the appearance of conflicts by leaving the room during discussions, consideration, and votes. The ethics ordinance says comply with the letter and the spirit of the laws and policies affecting the operations of government and avoid even the appearance of impropriety. The village attorney ruled the EDC adhered to the appropriate procedures and review, but no, the EDC did not. What if an ethics complaint were to arise against an elected official or a key staff member, like a trustee, a village clerk, village president, village administrator? The village attorney's role as ethics officer conflicts with his stated role to you, Commissioner DeGroff, that he works for the village board, despite appearing to work for only one elected official, the village president. It seems you all are being sensitive to a perception that you are recommending to the village board when, in fact, you're writing the ethics ordinance, a broader, more authoritative, and detailed role than other village boards and commissions. You have a leeway to strengthen your language to address ethics violations and complaints. In section 1-23-1, leave the word shall. Key shortcomings you may be addressing are removing restrictions that were put in place January of 2022 to limit you all, the Ethics Commission, to considering complaints on only prohibited political activities and the gift ban. Secondly, maintaining anonymity of the complaint and the complainant. Remember, I was named by the village president during a board meeting, and such was reported in the written meeting minutes. Under section 1-23-10A, filling out a form on the village website does not allow for anonymous complaints, as it goes to village admin or staff. No more requiring the complainant to cite specific ethical standards. big improvement because it's been used by the village to toss out a complaint or complaints. You're also strengthening the duty to report and awareness through village officials, staff, contractors, boards, commissions, and residents. Section 1-23-6, I think you need to define retaliation and or define violation and penalties to all persons for revealing a complainant before the Ethics Commission refers the complaint to the village. In section 123-8-B3, what purview of the EC are you referencing? And then lastly, on 123-8C2, mid-paragraph, you might check the wording there. Just wordsmith it. I thank you for your efforts toward delivering a true best-in-class ethics ordinance. Thank you.
Approval of the meeting minutes from March 5th, 2025. Have a motion. Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. No opposed. Motion carries.
Chair Daly, can you turn on your mic, please?
Oh, sorry.
Just tap those.
Yep. Got it. Sorry. Okay, the motion carries on to old business discussion and potential recommendation of amendments to the village ethics ordinance. Everyone should have a copy of the red line for the hopefully our final meeting on this so that we can get this forwarded. My suggestion, and I'm open to other ways of doing this, is to just go through it page by page from the beginning and the first, there's a note on the page one, need to clean up language as we are only recommending. I think that's been done. So I think that's something we can ignore at this point.
On page one, I would capitalize the E in section B, employees should be capitalized.
Oh, very good. Next note.
Sure. And just take a page number because we may have comments along the way from our own readings.
Sure.
Independent of the margin notes.
Absolutely. No problem. Anything on page two?
Nothing.
No.
Anything on page three?
No.
No.
Anything on page four?
No.
No.
Anything on page five?
No.
Six?
No.
No.
Seven?
No.
No.
Eight?
Yes.
Okay.
In 123.5A, purpose and application, the last sentence of that paragraph reads, this section shall apply to all village-covered individuals, comma, contractors, and employees. It's redundant because employees are part of village-covered individuals. Okay. So it should read, apply to all village-covered individuals and contractors, period.
I'm fine with that. You will?
Yes. Okay.
Anything on nine?
Yes. In C3, respect for process, it says village board members and commissioners shall perform their official duties. Employees, such as the ones here tonight, also have official duties in the conduct of meetings. So in process, so I think it should just be village covered individuals instead of parsing out board members and commissioners. It's a little different than number five, where we speak specifically to village board members and commissioners, because there we're talking about matters under consideration by their bodies.
That makes sense to me.
The change is just to replace that language with village covered.
In C3, I think village board members and commissioners should read village covered individuals in C3 on page 9.
Anything on 10?
No.
No.
All right. 11.
Mr. Morris, can you turn your mic on, please? Thank you.
Yes, sir.
So going through there, there's some comments here. PD4, PD7, I don't think we need to address those. Those are legacy comments.
Yes, those were from February.
Okay. And were any of the other ones here from February?
All on page 11 here were from February.
All on 11. Okay.
The first comment that was made in March is on page 13.
Oh, okay. That's super helpful. So let's look at this language as it appears. This is from the edits from the last meeting. Is everybody happy with the way it reads now? Any changes to 11 per the red line?
In the paragraph above that, the section applies to, it started mm-hmm. with.
Yes.
And it says, individuals and contractors who do not have a duty to report. I just think it's cleaner if it says do not otherwise have a duty. It's a small addition, but I think it helps with the context. It's not essential, but I think it's helpful.
I like it. I'm in. So do not otherwise have a duty to report violation.
Yep.
Okay. Uh-huh.
As far as that, as I read it with the strike-throughs and then the additions and underlines, I think it reads appropriately and captures the intent as I understand it.
I agree.
Agree.
Okay.
Can I make one small suggestion? In the third line of the bottom paragraph, it says report the violation to a chair of the Ethics Commission. I thought the A should probably come out. Or B.
Where are you?
Bottom paragraph of page 11.
Yes.
Third line.
Report the violation to a chair of the Ethics Committee.
Only one chair. Right.
Yes, that makes sense to
be
me.
The chair.
Correct.
This is.
Should it be the chair?
This is where I'm saying the chair.
Got it. And then I guess on that point. Should it be so specific or should it just be report to the Ethics Commission?
You know, I think it probably makes sense to send it to the chair, whoever that person is.
Okay.
Yeah, because that's, you know, that's the leader who's supposed to have the process in their head.
So we're just going to have to maybe, and this is going to jump us ahead just for a moment, but in the how to make a complaint section, we should probably designate therein to make a complaint to the chair, you know, chair of the Ethics Commission, right? Because if we're saying here somebody's got a duty report to the chair.
It says submit an email to the chair.
Oh, perfect.
So I think that may be all, unless there's
no. Okay, good. More. It does. All right.
It's there.
Then we're covered. Okay. Great. Thank you.
All right. Anything more on 11?
There was a public comment regarding retaliation and whether or not we should consider defining retaliation.
I think
retaliation is clearly any act against the complainant.
There's a wide body of law on it as well, so we don't need to dump it.
Perfect.
I agree. It's a legal term.
It's a term of art.
Defined by the courts.
Yeah.
Okay.
12.
None.
I have a couple.
Okay.
B1, kind of middle of the page.
Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of a mouthful. To receive, consider, and investigate complaints made under this chapter and to make recommendations to the village board for enforcement of complaints of alleged violations that the commission determines were made. And I think it's a mouthful. It should be enforcement of violations that the commission determines
were made.
Right. Well, at that point, they're not alleged. Yeah. We've made a determination.
Receive complaints under this chapter and to make recommendations for enforcement of
violations.
Can we say found by the commission instead of determines were made?
Yeah, that's passive. Pretty bad.
Did Violations determined by the commission. Violations.
How about violations found? That the commission determined occurred?
That's good. Like that.
That's fine.
Still a little.
It is wordy. But yeah, the complaints of alleged violations, like
yeah.
Just.
No, you're right.
I was reading it.
You probably read it three times and went.
If I, yeah, that's the rule of three. If you read it three times and don't understand it, then maybe there's a problem.
Totally agree.
I would add a period at the end of number three.
Yeah, that would be. And then I have some other changes on three as well. Three says the commission is authorized to act upon receipt of a written complaint alleging a violation of this chapter within the commission's purview by a village covered individual or contractor. I think it's super messy. I think we are here to act upon receipt of written complaints alleging a violation of this chapter. Period.
I agree.
Agree.
And then wordsmithing the upon receipt of a written complaint sentence. It's a little long, but I think it's okay in the length. But I think it should be conduct hearings and deliberations, comma, and issue recommendations for disciplinary actions and or fines in accordance with.
I agree.
And there should there's a comma after disciplinary actions, which needs to be removed then. And there's also an extra space after the word fines for what it's worth.
All right.
That was
anything
my
else?
Thoughts on page 12.
Those are great. This it's a solid read you've done of this. Thank you. Anything else on 12?
Nope.
13.
I have a couple as well.
Yeah. It's here.
Okay. At C1,
mm-hmm.
complaints submitted pursuant to this chapter, and then there's a highlighted language of 123-. I think we can just say this chapter.
I agree.
Shall be handled. And then it goes on to say if it constitutes a crime, we kick it out to the law enforcement or state's attorney. Then it says if they decline prosecution or fail to act within 30 days, we can take it back up. I don't know that we need to be giving a 30-day timeline on whether the state's attorney is going to determine whether or not they're going to take action. I think it's I think we can just say if the state agency or state's attorney fails to act in a reasonable time or fails. I just 30 days, I can see being a very tight window.
I agree, but I think the part of the issue is that something gets referred to the state's attorney and dies. It just sits there, and nothing happens. Nothing happens, and then your hands are tied. So you want to be able to
do something,
particularly if something has risen to the level of being so potentially egregious that you've referred it to for criminal prosecution. So.
I just don't know what happens in 30 days. I think that might be tight. That's why I was thinking maybe 60 or something. I just 30 days seemed
too tight.
I don't think so. I think this is discretionary, right? It's a 30 day. I think we can.
Okay.
Right. I think we put it in as discretionary, and then that gives, if you've got something that's that egregious, you may very well want to move on it quickly internally.
And at least the language in here allows the complainant to make that determination whether to refile with the commission as opposed to
if
the complainant could potentially
at the request allow of the complainant.
Okay, so
if they feel the comfortable with the status of it on the criminal.
So procedurally, it would work that we would determine
it's at the request.
The facts allege a crime, so we would refer it to a law enforcement agency.
Yes.
And that would stop that complaint.
There would be a 30-day window in which the complainant has to basically sit on their hands waiting to see what the prosecutors do.
Yes.
After 30 days expire, the complainant can come back and refile the complaint and ask for it to be to be, you know, reconsidered. At which point we could, there's a number of things we could do. I think that the commission has discretion at that point. You may get a call from the prosecutor's office asking you not to do anything because they're investigating, at which point we would probably say, we're not going to do anything right now because this is being investigated. We have discretion.
Okay.
So I like the way it is now.
Okay. Fair. I'm glad we discussed
it. I'm glad we did too.
In 2A, there is an extra period after the end of the first sentence.
Okay. Is this the one? I believe this was one of the ones said to read it carefully. That determines commission. I don't see any issues with this language.
No, I don't either.
Okay.
I've got a couple notes. If you look the fifth line from the bottom.
In 2A?
Yeah, 2A. Prior to a determination by the commission, and then it says that there.
Oh, yes.
So get rid of that
Thank you.
That there. So it's the that that's got to go.
And then so continuing in that sentence, there's an extra comma after the word chapter. Or no, that's, I'm sorry, prior, same line. Just before the word prior in that line I just talked about.
Oh, the period.
That's an extra period that I.
That's an extra period. Okay.
Yeah, that's the extra period. Okay. Anything else on 13?
One thing, yeah. 2B1 or 2BI.
Mm-hmm.
Says the complaint on its face or as clarified fails to state a violation of one of the laws or regulations within the commission's purview. I think that's vague. It should say within this chapter. I agree. We moved to that within this chapter language at the last meeting. I think we just missed it here.
Yep. I like it.
Where is that?
2BI. Instead of within the commission's purview, it should be within this chapter.
Got it. And then just one comment from staff perspective on the initial review. I know there was some discussion at the last meeting about the time frame for that initial meeting. There's interest in trying to make sure that that initial review to address potentially frivolous or other complaints is determined as quickly as possible. So if there's an appetite for a specific time limit to be in there, it would be appreciated. I think we settled on a reasonable time, but
I think we settled on that because we talked about a deadline and decided that reasonableness was a better.
Yeah.
Because it's tricky.
Yeah.
There's
but I appreciate the comment.
The last sentence of C2B, it's kind of lengthy, but there's multiple paragraphs, but it says the commission shall work as quickly as possible to resolve the complaints it receives. And I think that applies to all, phases of what we may be doing at any given point.
Yeah, I agree. Yep. All right. Anything else on 13?
Not from me.
Okay. Page 14.
I have a comment, which is 7, Roman numeral, small case 7 at the very top. Another reason provided by the commission. What we're talking about here is reasons that we could dismiss a complaint and we're very specific. And then we have kind of a catch-all, another reason. Mm-hmm. I think that's too vague. I mean, another reason has no standard to it at all. I think it should be other good cause provided by the commission.
Commission may dismiss a complaint if any of the following criteria are met. Fails to state a claim. Lacks factual detail. I agree with you. How would you like the language to read?
Instead of another reason, it should say other good cause provided by the commission. And it goes on, and it says if we do dismiss a complaint, we have to state in writing why and what the basis is.
Yeah.
But just any reason seems to be too light.
I agree. Anything else on 14?
Yes. 3, paragraph numeral 3 at the bottom.
Yes.
The sentence, first sentence, it says, if the complaint is deemed to be supported by sufficient evidence to allege a violation of this chapter within the commission's purview, I think we stripe
that.
Within the commission's purview. And then it goes on to say a hearing date scheduled within 4 weeks after the complaint's receipt. I thought we'd moved away from that. And so instead of 4 weeks, we should say a reasonable time after the complaint's receipt.
Well, that's different. That's about, that's giving the commission a deadline to, I mean, at some point, there's got to be fairness to the people involved that are the accused. So I think there probably is some validity to keeping the feet to the fire on that. Because, you know, you could end up with another one of these things where somebody's out of town, and then right. This accusation is hanging over somebody's head. And
fair.
We don't schedule.
Okay, fair. Okay.
And then one thing I'd point out on, I guess, subsection E here, the second line from the bottom, it references the place of a commission meeting. I think to be consistent, we're referring to in this case what the hearing would be, because there's this initial review meeting and then a hearing that would be scheduled within the 4 weeks that we just discussed. And then that's when a determination would be made. I think just to be consistent, that should be hearing. And then again, on page 15, there's a reference to it as meeting. We discussed at the last meeting about there was like an extra meeting step in there that the commission agreed to remove. So I just trying to make.
What's your recommendation with regard to length?
That would say hearing instead of meeting. And then the same on number 4 on page 15.
So.
Do we have hearing as a defined term in here? We don't. Nor do we have meeting as a defined term. So I'm not sure there's a difference.
That's fair.
Yeah, we use it interchangeably, it seems.
And in a hearing, I mean,
a hearing has a legal connotation where you're
due process and all that stuff. Is there a other reference to hearing within this?
Yeah, and
I'm not seeing.
In 123.
You've got it electronically, right?
Yep.
Can you look for the word hearing?
In paragraph 4 after paragraph 3 that we're talking about right now.
Well, we were using it in 4. And that we think 4 is the same thing as what we're talking about.
And I think that's what the recommendation
is. And I think that's fine then. I think since it's hearing. Yeah, I would agree with that. Do you guys agree?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. Okay. We'll make that change.
Yep.
Could I offer one comment and one suggestion on 14?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In C, copy the complaint. So reading this for the first time, I was, you know, kind of absorbing everything, trying to understand it. And I thought that the end of that sentence where it says that there is a reasonable basis for a complaint, my note was to use language that was more consistent with what had been in previous sections, to say are reasonable grounds to believe that the complaint establishes a violation of this chapter.
So to mirror the language.
Yeah. Because if you flip back, I think that was that's used on page 13 and 2A.
Reasonable, you wanted to say what?
sort of a reasonable basis for the complaint, reasonable grounds
to believe that the complaint establishes a violation of this chapter. And that's the same language used for initial review standard in 2A on page 13.
Can you go slower and give me the language again?
Sure.
Reasonable grounds to believe.
So strike everything starting with is a reasonable basis for a complaint.
Yes.
And substitute that there are reasonable grounds to believe that the complaint establishes a violation of this chapter. Totally up to you guys, but I thought that might be for consideration.
It's a higher standard and we don't need it. I mean, reasonable basis for the complaint versus then it goes reasonable grounds to believe that it establishes a violation.
Okay, but
just so much more embedded in that sentence than just.
And that's fine, but in 2A on page 13, it says prior to a determination by the commission that there are reasonable grounds.
Yes.
That establishes a violation of this chapter. So I was trying to mirror that.
I hear you. And I'm wondering whether we should change that to just be reasonable basis for the complaint.
I think it's just a different way of saying the same thing.
Okay.
But I think you're right about mirroring the language.
Agreed. I think we should be consistent with the language. I think the language has the same effect either way.
Do you have a favorite?
Get a coin.
Let me read it one more time.
I tend to go with the simpler.
There is a reasonable basis. Okay, so hold on.
I like reasonable basis for a complaint. I think it is softer. It's not necessarily that we are determining that there are reasonable grounds
right.
that the complaint establishes a violation. It's just a reasonable complaint.
Yeah. I'm with you. You've sold me. I think it is different.
Yeah.
Okay.
So then change 2A on 13?
We're going to change 2A prior to determination by the commission that there are that there is a reasonable basis for the complaint.
Reasonable basis for a complaint, yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
And then I had one thing to point out to you. On page 14 in subsection D,
yes. Mm-hmm.
There is a ordinance site to C2D, which is actually that subsection. So I think that the small d at the end, I'm assuming it was intended to be A, but I will defer to you. Mm. It shouldn't be referring to its own.
No.
It should not. C2.
And A is that paragraph we're just looking at about the initial review and determination.
C2B.
Yes, that's right. I think
it should be B right. Instead be of A. D.
C should be A.
Should be A instead of D.
C2. I'm sorry. Yes.
C2A. So.
Okay.
Good catch.
We need no quote mark at the end of that paragraph.
I'm sorry, where?
Yeah, no quote. Yep.
Oh, yes.
All right. And then I had one more on 14.
Yes.
The very last this last sentence of three,
mm-hmm.
paragraph three. If the complaint is deemed not sufficient to allege a violation or if there's no determination, then we shall, you know, send certified mail, blah, blah, blah. It goes on to say that. Okay. But if you look at 128C2B.
Which is where?
Just above.
Okay.
It's prior page. Okay,
prior page. Okay.
It's the last paragraph of C2B. There's no numeric designation. It starts with notwithstanding.
I'm sorry, where am I? Where's the notwithstanding?
C2B, and then, sorry, flip it.
Oh, okay, so it's on here. So,
with us.
Yeah.
Where I'm, okay, I'm not sure if I'm describing it well.
Just quicker than me.
So the notwithstanding, if the it says in that paragraph, if the commission dismisses a complaint, it shall include a reason for the dismissal in the meeting minutes and a written determination. I guess it's different than sending it out via mail. Never mind.
You sure?
Yeah. As I read it again, there's a lot of words in this thing, isn't there?
A lot of words.
All right. Never mind. I think we're okay.
All right. Anything else on 14?
No.
So 15, a lot of edits on this. These ones on 15, are these from the last meeting?
The first and third comment are from the last meeting. The middle comment, this is confusing, was back from February.
Okay. Could be compressed. We did that. I did that. That's what all the edits are on compression.
Correct.
So we get rid of the notes.
So number five,
mm-hmm.
as which used to be seven, now is number five.
Yeah.
I think that reads well.
Great. All right, let's go to six. Is our reference to 123B 8C 2C correct?
It's not cited the same way. So however we cite different. It needs to be
so
cited.
So let's cite that properly.
Formatting needs to be addressed.
Or we could just say dismiss the complaint for any of the reasons set forth in this chapter.
Well, I think it should be subsection C2B where you list the reasons that you can dismiss it.
Agreed. Yeah, it should be C2B. Okay, any other edits to paragraph six?
No.
None from me.
Okay. Anything else on 15?
No.
No.
Okay. 16.
None from me.
Is this...
That was from February.
That's from February.
Yes.
Okay.
But I will point out here that the...
Yeah, we did that already.
The maximum fine amount... here we are limited
too
to
much.
Yeah, we're limited to 750 per
the Illinois Municipal Code as a non-home rule committee.
Make that change. Any other changes to 16? Okay. 17.
I have a change in the very last paragraph in D. So it reads, notwithstanding other provisions herein, enforcement under this section may not be initiated more than 24 months after the conduct alleged. Now, the issue that's raised in my mind is that we have an investigative and determinative role, and then we make recommendations to the board. The board does enforcement. So theoretically, if we get a complaint about something that occurs 23 months prior, and we don't send it to the board within the next month,
right,
there's no enforcement. And I don't think that's
point.
Our intent. So the language I wrote here that I recommend
here.
Is, notwithstanding other provisions herein, the commission shall not consider any allegations of violations of this chapter if the alleged violation occurred more than 24 months prior to the complaint being made.
Except we're certainly going to refer something to the prosecutor's office if something was illegal, right? We can't sit on something like that.
But that's not enforcement under
that's, the statute. That's not considering an allegation. That's a referral. That's why, yes, I kind of, we're not, the commission shall not consider any allegations. That's different than, I think, if we learn of criminal conduct, we're going to.
We have a duty to.
We have report. A duty to.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think that limits
kind of
that.
Devil's advocate.
I don't mean, I don't think.
Notwithstanding enforcement under this simple may not be initiated. Well, here's the thing. This is talking about enforcement. Okay.
Yeah.
If somebody comes in under this language, somebody could come in and complain about something that happened 3 years ago. We could consider it. We could make a determination, and we just can't find them because it's been 24 months. And it may be worthwhile to have that. There's a statute of limitations in terms of the penalty, but you know, I would hate to have somebody within the village or within the, an employee being advised of something 2 years after it happened and learning of it and then going, well, there's no point in bringing it to anybody's attention. We just can't enforce it.
Okay.
But we could certainly make it visible and bring it to people's attention. I would want to be able to review it and make it visible if it was a problem.
Okay, so understanding that, then we can say something to the effect of, notwithstanding other provisions herein, enforcement of this section may not be initiated more than 24 months. It should say enforcement under this section may not be initiated if a complaint is not made. So the enforcement may not be initiated if the complaint is not made within 24 months of the alleged conduct.
Maybe what we're doing is...
Can we tell the board that they cannot enforce something? I mean, I guess it would be enforcement of what we find.
Yeah, I mean, I guess there's right? We don't have the authority to tell the board what they can and can't enforce. I mean, it's not the duty of a commission. And the other wrinkle to this is we're thinking it through. I think we should be very clear here and say if the alleged violation is ongoing in nature, the limitation shall not apply. For example, say somebody hires a relative unbeknownst to everybody else, and that person works for the village for a period of years, and the hiring was 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we find out by way of a complaint at 3 years later, that's an ongoing violation. Even though the hiring was the violative act, it should go back to reach that.
I agree with you.
So
I think I may have some language still work.
Oh, okay. So I'm sorry, I'm talking while you're writing.
No. I'm listening to you in writing.
But I do think, you know, if it's an ongoing violation, it should stretch back to whenever that violation first began.
How about this? Notwithstanding the provisions herein, the commission shall not no penalty shall be assessed if the conduct alleged in the complaint ceased more than 24 months prior to the time the complaint is made.
Yeah, you were listening. See, that ceased in that. Yeah.
This makes it clear that we can consider it, but we just can't put a penalty in, and it puts a tolling on the time from 24 months prior to ending.
Correct. And it captures anything that may be ongoing in nature.
Does it?
Yeah. It says no penalty shall be assessed if the conduct alleged in the complaint ceased more than 24 months prior to the time the complaint was made.
But the conduct is hiring a relative. And that conduct ceased.
Yeah, I guess you heard it very, yeah. So
no, I mean, the minute then you get into, you know, you get the lawyers involved, whether or not that's an ongoing violation, right?
Yeah, if the employment
if you've hired somebody inappropriately and they are maintain their employment, it's an, in my view, that's an ongoing violation, because every day they show up to work, they shouldn't be there. And they've got something a little bit more sporadic. And if you're looking at gifts and graft and that kind of thing, where you'd have to say, okay, when was the last time you took an inappropriate gift? And then you'd have to, you know, do the calendar for that.
So to make it crystal clear, we could add the sentence, if the alleged violation is ongoing in nature, this limitation shall not apply.
Okay, I'm fine with that.
I like that.
Then it's just,
if the
alleged violation is ongoing in nature, this limitation shall not apply. Then it's very clear.
I like it. Anything else?
Not for me.
Not for me.
So, oh, you do? Uh-huh.
123.10a, you list two items, and to me it wasn't clear whether you need to take both actions or either.
Oh, good point.
Okay. Yeah.
Or, should say, or.
That's it.
Actually, I do have one. It shall be the responsibility of the village administrator to ensure that a publicly available complaint intake form is maintained on the village website. And then it should carry on, which allows the complainant to remain anonymous if they choose.
I'm sorry, what's the language you'd like?
Just so see where it says intake form is maintained on the village website.
Mm-hmm.
And then it should say, which allows for the complainant to remain anonymous if they so choose.
Right here. Shall be the responsibility to ensure that a publicly available complainant is maintained on the website.
You know, one issue, though, is with the anonymous complaints. I mean, when you bring them in, we don't want to be encouraging that, honestly.
I agree, but there's also a reality that if you make an anonymous complaint, that it's much harder for it to be investigated
and thoroughly vetted.
And if that's the risk the complainant wants to take, then so be it.
Yeah, I'm with you.
You know, obviously... complaints that people stand behind with their name have more validity. And they're easier to investigate. And if they're not there, it's just a hurdle that exists, which is fine. I respect the ability to do that. But if that's the path they want to take, that's the path they want to take.
I agree.
One thing just to raise, because I think that makes sense given all the attention protection we want to offer for anonymous complaints. I know that on some of the portals we have on the village website, we've gotten clearly fake folks making very vague complaints that in this scenario would be, and complaints about service, for example. We had an incident, you know, about a library printing cost or something like that. Those would be forwarded directly to the chair in this case. So I think we'll just have to monitor that between the chair and staff. It's not common, but it happens every once in a while.
You know, are professional enough to be able to assess them when they come in appropriately. Yeah,
right.
Anonymous complaints are, you know, unless they're a stack of attachments proving it up, it's really hard to take them seriously because it's just a lot of hearsay. But I want to be able to assess anonymous complaints because sometimes anonymous complaints are very valid.
Exceptionally valid.
Exceptionally valid, correct. Okay, so do we have anything else? Are we done?
Coming.
Okay. I'm thinking, can we quickly now get these edits made and then we can vote on it with a clean version of it. I just want to make sure that what we're voting on is exactly the right thing, and there aren't that many. I have my notes here too. Sure. If you want to take a look, we can take maybe take a 5-minute break or something, and then yep. Yeah. What I would suggest is accept all the things that were accepted, and then put in the red lines for what the edits we've just made, so that we can see them, and then we can approve the red line from just today's changes.
I think
that makes sense. With
changes on top of changes are
no, we're not doing that.
Start by accepting everything, and I think we can delete all the comments. Right,
all the comments are gone,
or not delete, but accept.
Yeah,
no, delete them.
Delete comments.
Delete comments.
Accept all changes, and then go in and make the changes.
Yeah. Because he's been keeping notes, I cut notes.
Excellent.
And then we'll be voting on what.
That's great. Because the puck drops in game six, and
you're gonna be watching that game.
Darn right.
Well, thank you all for all the time you put in on this. This ended up being a lot of work, but I think we've really enhanced this statute, and we should be proud of what we've been able to accomplish here.
Seems like forever ago, those COVID era Zoom meetings we were
together. This is the first meeting I've ever been in person for, because everyone that we did before
they were all Zoom, yeah,
it was all COVID-y, and then I was out of town February and March.
Yeah, I hit the road basically starting tomorrow, and I don't think I'm back until the end of July. So, in any meaningful capacity other than to repack my bags.
Are you related to Valerie Ignatova?
Yeah, it's my mom. Do you know her?
I do. I do work for Mannheim School District 83, and she does a lot of real estate.
When they, you? Okay, sure. No, yeah. I know when they've been acquiring a little bit of property.
Yeah, whenever anything comes for sale around the schools, they buy it up and expand the
school. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know Scott School, which is where I went to grade school over there. They bought up a bunch of houses that were alongside that. Yeah. Like, I knew kids that lived in those houses, you know what I mean? So it's kind of funny to see that.
That's cool. Tell her I said hey.
I will.
Since you're on break, I might as well comment. If you're allowed residents or whomever to file up a form on the website, you might flag it that it is not, doesn't guarantee anonymity. Because I sent mine second time after, I sent mine to Matt Walsh. So you may flag it because residents are going to assume it's going to be anonymous, and that's not your intent. You have an obligation to notify whoever's filling out the form.
Well, it's our intent that it be anonymous. I know that unfortunately yours was not treated necessarily the way it should have been, but I don't think that's going to, hopefully there will have been something learned here. Yours was the first ethics complaint that had been lodged in 20 years. And so there just wasn't a... there wasn't really a process that anybody had followed that was involved in it. And it's unfortunate, and it shouldn't have happened. But I'm not in a position to say, by the way, even though we say this is anonymous, it's not going to be anonymous. I mean, hopefully we'll have done some training with everybody, and they'll have learned a lesson. You said you're traveling. Where are you off to?
So it kind of started, so we took our daughter to camp Sunday in Dubuque, Iowa. And then Monday, yesterday, I drove to and from Des Moines for depositions.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, I'm off to Kansas City for depositions. Then I come home. Then I'm off to Baltimore. Then I come home.
Get
then
all
I go
flavor
to,
trips.
I know. Then I go to Mankato, Minnesota. Then we're going on family vacation to northern Michigan. So that's a good time to be
away. That's good. Where?
Glen Arbor, Sutton's Bay.
That's pretty.
Northern Michigan, yeah. And then?
We ran away to the UP during COVID.
Oh, where?
We wanted to go more up by Painted Rocks, but it was already, everybody else had gotten that good idea earlier, so we ended up in Escanaba.
Okay.
Which was fine.
I've never been up to the UP. I've been
up gorgeous.
To, like, Northwest Michigan quite a bit. But
I loved it. It's very, Superior is just much colder and deeper, and it's more sort of yo-ho-ho, seafaring kind of a place.
Mm-hmm.
We were stuck in the house with our kids who were college age at the time, and we said, oh, we're leaving you immediately. We need to go away. So we took off for 2 weeks, took the dog with us.
That's right. We're actually taking our dog with us. We found a house that we could bring her. And so, which everybody's super excited about.
Yeah, the UP is a great trip. I've been wanting to get up to the Apostle Islands. I haven't been there yet. That's kind of the same area. It's supposed to be lovely. The Pictured Rocks, not Painted Rocks, Pictured Rocks is gorgeous.
Where is
it? It's on the top of the
peninsula.
And it's a
there's a middle school site feature at Roosevelt.
And a lot of they have these wonderful boat
when my oldest
where
was in
you take off and they they just
I can't remember his name.
They go all the way along the shoreline and the shoreline.
I am now addicted to
it's them. All that kind of
still tell anyone, but I signed checks.
The rock formations have different colors.
They're so amazing. And is it you, you can that erase
it. It's gorgeous. And then lots of little beaches. And if you're a boating type person, you
does a really good job.
And then you
yeah, it comes in different colors. Pink, black, blue, purple, green, red.
Really pretty. It's supposed to be. I'd like to get up there. I'd like to get up to Apostle Islands and the Porcupine Mountains.
Frickson.
Same area during the fall because foliage, Michigan foliage is unbelievable.
Great. It's just so peaceful.
Yeah.
So peaceful.
Funny about the deposition locations.
Yeah, I mean, I usually try to, like, those are defense experts, so I got to just go where they are. But usually, like, when I hire my own for places I want to go, like, I do my searches based on, like, my favorite cities and, like.
So you're
I've had, like.
You're looking for an engineering expert in Honolulu?
Yeah, not even that. I mean, I just. Cities that are good to like go to. Like,
yeah.
I've had so many experts in Boston because I love Boston. You know, it's one of my favorite towns.
Greg, what kind of practice do you have? What do you?
Personal injury. So I do a lot of product liability, medical malpractice, and then, you know, trucking, auto, and all the other like variety of PI stuff as well. But medical and product is probably 50-60% of what we do. It's kind of. At least it accounts for most of my time.
Yeah.
It's funny. I'm an expert witness now. My practice shipped crazily about 10 years ago. And
in what kind of cases?
I do data analytics in big class actions.
Oh.
Wow. Robocalls, BIPA, SIPA.
Okay.
All of that. And typically working for defendants on these big robocalling cases, debt collection, looking at all the consumer data. And I haven't. A lot of those cases they were all federal court cases, and it was usually in the Ninth Circuit because it's so friendly to the plaintiffs. And that's where they would file. And before COVID, I would have to fly out on a Monday all day to get to Los Angeles. Tuesday would be an all day debt prep. Wednesday would be the deposition. And then Thursday, because I will not fly on a red eye anymore, I would fly home. So it would be 4 days.
And since COVID, I can count on one hand the number of depositions I've done live with people there. It's all Zoom, 100%.
So we do a lot of Zoom, but when they're like party experts, I do them in person.
Sure, it makes sense.
You know, like especially,
huge difference.
I mean, I don't know if those cases are jury cases or not, but ours are. So I want to be in the room. I want to understand how they're going to present. I want to get a feel for who they are. Like,
okay, so I have a word of warning about Zoom deaths that just happened to my husband. The plaintiff's attorney was recording, not through Zoom, but some other screen recording without telling anyone.
Oh, really?
Including during breaks.
Oh, that's not okay.
That... not okay. And some states, including in
this could have been a violation
was
of law.
In
yeah.
Florida, where you need two-party.
Two-party?
Yeah.
So.
How did they find out?
He asked him at some point if he was, there was something that triggered my husband to ask. And then it was like the next one that he thought to ask, wait a minute, are you including during break? Like, do you take breaks? And no. It's so sketchy.
Well,
so what kind of work does your husband do?
So we used to work together. He does employment defense.
Oh, employment work. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you did employment work too?
Yeah.
Okay. What firm?
Cyphar Shaw.
Oh, great firm.
So, is this being recorded while we're on break?
Yeah. I haven't stopped it. Like
random chatter?
Yeah. No one's on either. So,
Yeah, I've never done employment work.
I did some when I practiced. The one jury trial I did was a discrimination, unlawful termination case.
Oh, really?
Oh, God, yeah. And it was tough because the defendant. We went, thanks. Okay. Thank you for pulling it together.
No problem. I compared my notes and I did your notes, and I think it should capture everything.
Do you have my notes?
Yeah.
No, just a second. Take a peek. This is actually going to be much cleaner than the other one because there were mm-hmm. a lot of edits on the other one. Good. I think in E, on page 14, we decided to change it to hearing.
Okay, I wasn't fine.
Yes, I agree.
Can do that on 14, right?
Yeah, 14 okay. E, second to the last, where it says meeting, it should say hearing.
I just noticed something on page 13. First line of C1 should say complaints submitted pursuant to this chapter.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That was all I had.
I think on page 15, we need another bracket after that.
I just noticed that. Yep.
Yes.
Or a bracket around the
bracket.
The first two.
Okay. That's all I had. I don't think we need to print it again with those minor edits.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just 750.
Do you think we should print it again? Okay.
You guys read faster than me.
Did I get in?
I'm doing that right now. Yeah. Okay, this form shall allow for the complaint to be made in the House if I so choose. And the provisions herein, no penalty shall be assessed for the complaints if the Okay, go ahead.
On D, on page 17. If the complaint ceased more than 24 months prior to when the complaint is made.
And it shouldn't be.
It's not the complaint ceased. It's the
conduct alleged in the complaint.
Conduct.
No penalty shall be assessed if the
conduct
alleged in the complaint. Prior to when. The alleged.
Yeah, good catch. I still think we're good with not printing. Okay.
He's going to share it.
Okay.
Can we put out
good.
That language, and then we can.
Yeah, that's the only one I'm really
sure.
Sorry about.
Right, you ready?
Yep.
There we go.
So no penalty shall. I'm sorry. What? Where are we at?
Prior to the time the complaint is made. Do we need a comma after the word nature?
Yes.
Oh. Bless you.
Yeah, I like that. That's good.
Oh, man.
That's the extra parentheses, and then
page
14, hearing.
Hearing. Yep, that's in. And then C, 13, pursuant to this chapter.
Yes.
All right. I think that's it, right? Okay, who wants to make the motion?
I will. A motion to approve the ethics chapter in its current form.
Recommend
approval. And recommend that we send it.
And recommend that we send it to the village board for approval.
Second.
Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? No. The motion carries. All right. Other new business. Do we have any new business? We have no new business. Do we have any other business? We have no other business. We need a motion for adjourn.
Motion.
Second.
All those in favor say aye. Aye. Motion carries.